The following paid program is furnished by Dr. Steve Pettirudi. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Good morning, everybody. It's me. It's Dr. Steve Pettirudi here with Shannon. Good morning, Shannon. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Excellent.
You feeling great?
Feel great.
Are you feeling optimistic?
Optimistic, of course.
Is the future looking good?
How much coffee did you have today?
Hey, Nick, how are you feeling there, buddy?
I'm feeling pretty good.
All right, so, you know, we're all Americans, correct, Nick?
We are.
And what is one of the most indelible attributes of an American? I'm going to tell you. It's not fair. It's a lot of them, but at our core, we are optimistic. We are positive energy, baby. And that's what's been driving this nation forward for 200 years. So I'm optimistic. I know there's an inauguration. I heard through the grapevine we have a new president. I'm not really sure. I don't stay too plugged into politics.
I don't know. It was all over the TV yesterday.
I'm kind of excited, though. I think that that we, the people, are going to be involved at every step. And I think that we're going to do great things as a nation. But we're going to talk today, as I promised last week. Part of the focus today is going to be about breast cancer and more specifically about mammograms. And we're going to discuss whether or not you should even get them. Shannon will be going over some of the most published recommendations. And we will give you the intellectual medicine perspective on how to best prevent and screen and monitor for breast cancer. Now, there's no doubt it's a scourge on the nation as it strikes women in their prime. It's a horrible disease. One out of eight women will acquire it, and it is a virtual epidemic in America for reasons we're going to discuss. And before we leave you today, we're going to give you things you can do to diminish the likelihood you will ever get breast cancer. So we are going to be circling back to that. We will have some time for your questions and calls, should you have any, on this most important topic. But first, I want to start out talking a little bit about some issues that affect our health and well-being. As we all know, intellectual medicine is striving towards delivering you the 120-year lifespan. That's 120 youthful, robust, and healthy years. One of the greatest impediments to that are war and poverty. And in Rhode Island, we have our fair share of poverty. And there are proposals out there intended to lift us, to enhance our income, to expand our wealth, and by extension, give us the opportunity to live a more healthy life. And I'm talking about Gina Raimondo's recommendation or proposal for free education. And I'll give you my thoughts on that. But I have on the line the department chair for sports, entertainment, and event management at Johnson & Wales University. Lou Pilano has been in education for over 40 years. He had a long tenure at CCRI. And I thought he could bring our listeners a perspective on this. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, Dr. Pettirudi. Good morning, Shannon. Nice to be with you today.
Great. Thanks having us. Thanks for making the time for us. Now, Lou, I got to tell you, I'm a little bit dubious about this whole proposal. I find it hard to fathom how giving a bunch of kids free college is going to drive the Rhode Island economy. But, you know, you were up close and personal with this issue. You saw kids at CCRI. You see them every day at Johnson & Wales University. How much is access to capital a barrier to kids getting educated?
Probably much more than most people who are outside of education realize. I believe Governor Raimondo's plan is similar to the tuition waiver plan that, in a sense, those of us that were in higher education or were state employees had access to, where your children could go to a state school, which would be Community College Rhode Island, Brown College or the university, tuition free. And I believe her plan specifically deals just with tuition, so it's not room and board, things of that nature.
Correct.
Where my experience has been is most children that come from a very low socioeconomic environment usually can function in the first year or two of college. It's they're capable of getting in and enrolling.
Right.
In that junior and senior year, where the pressures of having to work a job or two, many of them having to pay for school, begin to falter. And I think the essence of the proposal, as I read it, is trying to address that junior and senior year also in college where you see a significant drop in retention due to finances.
So you see kids that are doing pretty well first and second year. Now, is it possible that the kids that are faltering just aren't strong enough to be collegiate students and that maybe this is part of the natural order of ferreting out the weaker students and diverting them into another career path?
There is some evidence for that, to be quite honest with you. I think your best and brightest, without associate, without any economic pressure on them, would persevere. The persistence rate, I believe, when I was at CCRI, was significantly higher than the graduation rate, and there was a lot of reasons for that.
All right, just tell me what a persistence rate is.
The persistence rate is cast over about a six-year period. So if Dr. Pederuti started as a freshman, how long will it take him to complete his coursework and actually get a degree?
So some of these kids are doing the slow grind, gradually accumulating credits towards a degree.
That is correct.
But if they had the tuition burden removed from them, they could move more quickly through that pathway.
That's that's theoretical, but I believe that would be a significant support for them. One of the issues that we have is we know statistically, those of us in education has always seen it as a major value. And what education does is improves, the ability to make choices. It gives you self-determination.
Right.
And with all the self-determination, I think to your point earlier today, it does have an influence on your livelihood and obviously your well-being.
How prepared are these kids coming out of high school? Isn't the issue that the high schools aren't preparing them properly and that you have to do remedial work just to get them up to basic skills?
There are instances of that, and unfortunately, it is community-based. And you'll see some students coming from your communities that have a little bit more affluence to them, such as a Barrington or an East Greenwich, that seem a bit more prepared than some of the students that are coming from your inner cities. And, again, philosophically, educators believe that the economic component to that has a lot to do with it.
So now we're going to give kids an incentive. I was talking to my son. He's in high school, and he said, just knowing that the finances are not a barrier, it's going to energize kids to perform better in high school because now they have no doubt. I can go to college. There's absolutely no barrier. There's no cost involved. I can just enroll.
And I think that's a big advantage for us. Again, if you're looking at the New England cohort for a second, we're kind of at the bottom, if not at the bottom, of college graduates within the economy here in Rhode Island. And in essence, what that tells you is that most of the better paying jobs are typically with college graduates.
So, right, but here's a couple of issues I have with this proposal, Lou. One of them is that in order to qualify for this free money, you've got to hoist a 2.0 grade average. Now, I'm sorry, but a 2.0 grade average is what frat boy drunk man gets. That's a miserable GPA. If your son brought home a 2.0 GPA, Lou, you'd give him a spat and tell him to get studying. Am I right?
That's correct. Yes.
You're not going to say to him, great job, here's free money. So I am all about that which drives this economy. Now, Lou, in the world, there are two kinds of people. There are engines and there are boxcars. And what Rhode Island needs are engines to pull the boxcars. It's not a bad thing to be either one, right, Lou? I mean, I'm talking to you from WPRO, the voice of Southern New England. Right now, I'm a boxcar. I'm a guy that is here because others have pulled the engine of free speech forward in the form of this radio show. Now, how do you know if you're an engine or a boxcar? If your name is at the bottom of the check that pays you every week, you're an engine. If somebody else's name is there, you're a boxcar. Now, I ask you, are you going to be excited to hire that kid with a 2.0 GPA coming out of URI? Is he top on your list?
That's going to have an interesting play to it. I think I don't disagree with you, by the way. I think all the data and research in education will support, in a sense, what you're mentioning right now, and that is, the higher the standard, the higher the bar.
Yep.
The more that the achievement, the higher the achievement.
Listen, I am of a spirit. I want to support this notion. I think that education is a core element of entrepreneurial spirit. But I want the money to go to engines, Lou. I want that GPA to be higher. And here's a radical proposal. I want it to go to anybody that wants to come to the state for school. I don't want it to be restricted to Rhode Islanders. You show me an engine, a brilliant kid from upstate New York wants to come to Rhode Island. Here's the catch, though, Lou. You got to stay in Rhode Island for 2 years after you graduate. I don't want to educate people so they go to Nashville, San Francisco, and Houston and take all of that free education with them. Well, how does that help us?
I think that there's a big gap in that. I think you identified one of the gaps. I think the issue of what you propose, and I believe it to be also being discussed at some point. I'm not in the political world, but I think those concepts have been discussed. Is the management of that at the end of 2 years? You know, who you have the education.
We want something back, baby. You know, we're going to drive this guy. Lou, you know, it's been beautiful talking to you, my friend. One of the best people on the planet is Lou Pilato, an educator, a great man, a great father, and a real heart for kids. Lou, keep up your beautiful work, my friend, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Doc. Appreciate it.
Great. Next up, how are we doing for time here, Nick? We got a couple of minutes. I'm going to talk to Andre in a second. But, folks, here's the thing. You know, we're not against investing in infrastructure. And if you think about our intellectual talent, it's a bit of an infrastructure. But you don't want to build a highway to nowhere. You want highways that matter. And I don't want to educate kids going nowhere. If you're a 2.0 kid, I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry, daughter. You're going no place. And I'm not paying for you to go nowhere. I want talent to be fostered. You know, in France, they have free education, Shannon. France.
They do?
They do. Mm-hmm. You know what the unemployment rate is in France? Greater than 10%. The unemployment rate for young people is around 50%. Is that the kind of Rhode Island we want? A magnet state for hacky sack playing, beer drinking, pot smoking 2.0 frat boys? Is that what we're talking about? Andre, you're up next from East Greenwich. You're with Dr. Pederit in intellectual medicine.
Good morning. Good topic. Good question. I think that the so-called free education proposed by Armanda going to devalue educational value of education, of especially higher education.
Andre,
you make
a great point. Yeah, you make a great point.
And they talk about intellectual infrastructure. I completely agree. Who going to build infrastructure that's going to have flimsy road, flimsy bridges, and everything else?
Yeah.
And that's what comes out from 2.0 GPA.
Nothing.
People need to understand that when you build something for a long term, it needs to be reliable. And on the get-go, they put it on unreliable rails.
Andre, I like the way you think, brother. We're running up against the clock. But I want to thank you for your call. And you highlight a key element. When you give something away for free, you have the potential to severely devalue it. It's nothing. Therefore, it's worth nothing. 2.0, are you kidding me, Gina Raimondo? Your kid brings home a 2.0. You're going to be happy about that? When we come back, we're going to be talking about breast cancer screening, and we're going to leave some time for your calls, folks. I'm Dr. Pederit. This is Intellectual Medicine.
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pederit. Join Dr. Pederit as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pederit.
Hi, everybody. We're back. I'm Dr. Pederit. I'm here with Shannon, and we're discussing the state of breast cancer screening in the United States. And those that were listening before the break heard me read this quote from an 80,000 woman study out of Canada, the summary of which is that mammogram does nothing to prevent death from breast cancer and has a significantly high overdiagnosis rate. Now, there's also a study, folks, out of the Annals of Internal Medicine from Denmark, spanning the years 1980 to 2010, and I'll read their conclusion. Quote, breast cancer screening was not associated with a reduction of risk in the incidence of advanced cancer, and one out of three were overdiagnoses. No reduction in the risk of advanced cancer, and 30%, greater than 30%, were overdiagnosed. It's time, folks, to stop the madness. Intellectual medicine compels you to bring knowledge, thought, self-determination, and freedom to this process. Now, let me tell you how your freedom is being abrogated. That is, it's being taken from you. Doctors are paid a bonus based upon, many doctors are paid a bonus based upon what percentage of their patients are getting mammograms. Is that correct? You remember that?
Oh, yeah. You have to hit certain parameters.
Certain
it was
numbers.
Like 80%. It was high.
It was high. So if you're an insurance-based doctor, which thankfully I am not, then you get a bonus if a certain percentage of the patients in your practice are getting mammograms. Never mind whether or not it's good for them. Never mind the fact that it does more harm than good. Never mind the fact that, as our listeners now know, it's never been shown in these major studies to improve outcomes. Eh, go get them done anyhow. And when you think about the momentum that keeps us going, folks, this is one of the reasons we exist in intellectual medicine. When you have an industry that is built around a certain activity, it's very hard to derail it. Now, it's interesting to me, Shannon, that the American College of OBGYN recommended every year starting at age 40, and that the American Task Force recommended every other year starting at age 50. Might it have something to do with the fact that the task force doctors don't do biopsies or mammograms?
Maybe.
And that the ACOG doctors, in fact, many of them either own or have invested in, or some, not many, some of them, are directly involved with the mammogram industry. I call it the fear-mongering industry. They turn women's fear into money by giving them false comfort. The false comfort is this: your mammogram is normal, everything's fine, bullshit. Here's another false comfort. Oh, you have a shadow. No, here's a fear factor, right? You have a shadow. It might be something. It might be cancer. We're going to have to either biopsy it or you can just live with it. I mean, how do you do that to a woman? Get in her head like that? It drives them nuts, knowing full well that the majority, many of these shadows are false. And they end up getting scarred and anxiety and for nothing. I don't know. So here's our recommendation, the intellectual medicine recommendation. We do not advocate routine mammograms for anybody, even with a family history. The family history risk increases your personal risk incrementally. That is, not much. Now, there are rare exceptions. People with the BRCA gene that are at severely high rate, these have to be individualized. But I believe it's every woman's right to get full information and to make her own choice without fear and intimidation and coercion. And that's what's happening. When your doctor is getting a bonus to get you mammogrammed, it becomes coercive. And when there's a doctor who stands to gain financially by a particular activity, look, they're good docs. They're good people, but they're humans, and they're affected by how they're incentivized. You know, in intellectual medicine, we don't get paid anything for mammograms, do we?
We don't. No.
So perhaps I'm biased. Maybe I'm biased because I'm just envious that we haven't figured out a way to capitalize on this whole thing.
Because you aren't getting paid for that.
Not getting paid for that. But here's the thing. Now, Shan, you've observed this up close. Mm-hmm. And on a personal level, what's your plan for mammograms?
So, personally, I'm not doing it now.
Do you do self-breast exam?
You know what? So, I do. And I can't believe that the recommendation came out to stop doing them.
Isn't that crazy?
Stop doing them.
Just rely on mammograms.
That makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Now, here's what you need to know about breast cancer, folks. If you find a tumor that is less than 2 centimeters, your probability of surviving that go up exponentially. Now, 2 centimeters is a pretty large tumor that can be, in most cases, easily felt by self-exam. The reason why U.S. healthcare has abandoned self-exam is because they don't want to take the time to teach you how to do it. And that's the truth. Now, briefly, Shannon, what's an approach some women can use to do self-breast exam?
So, monthly, definitely, about a week after they had their period. And it shouldn't be done in the shower. It really should be done standing in front of a mirror with, you know, no shirt on. Your arms are in different positions to actually see if you can see a change in the breast shape.
That's a great point. So sometimes mm-hmm. they'll cast a shadow. Now, here are some caveats, folks. If you are a trim, fit, young woman with relatively modest cup size, it's going to be easy to examine your breast. Putting them in a vice grip to squeegee them and irradiate them isn't going to do you any good. Do your self-breast exam, and if you feel something, get it analyzed. Look, it's true. Breast cancer does exist, and we're not advocating benign neglect. We're advocating intellectual medicine. Think about what you're doing. Now, suppose you're a woman and you weigh 300 pounds and you've got triple D cup size and you're trying to do a self-breast exam. It's an entirely different phenomena. Number one, it's harder to palpate that breast. So a mammogram probably has more value in that setting. Number two, that breast is likely to have more fat tissue, which makes it easier to mammogram. It's easier to see. And number three, one of the leading causes of breast cancer is excess fat tissue, obesity. Let's talk about getting to the core of preventing breast cancer. So we've already dismissed mammograms as being grotesquely overutilized, driving women to needless procedures, anxiety. By the way, folks, if you want to comment and join the conversation, you can do so by calling our number. Hey, Nick. Hey, Nick, what's our number here?
He's chatting over there.
Yeah, Nick. Come back to me, baby. Come back to me.
438-9776, toll free, 1-800-321-WPRO.
Great. So if you have a differing opinion or a thought that you want to share with us, then please do. Because this is a very important and sensitive and individual topic.
I had a question for you.
Yeah.
So we were talking with Dr. Sullivan last week. What if a woman has implants? How would she...
Well, I think the implants, there's a hazard of trauma and damage to the implant because of the rough handling that can occur in some of the mammograms. It's safe to get a mammogram with an implant. In many cases, it'll present the breast tissue in a more favorable position. However, if you're a trim woman and you've had implants, you now have a platform behind the breast tissue that makes it easier for you to do your self-exam. So I think it actually makes a self-exam more valuable, and in general, I would not endorse that. I think that they're better off with self-breast exam. I think that you're going to catch things in a reasonable time. There's no evidence that catching things sooner with a mammogram is going to make you live longer. And the amount of false positives, I can't tell you how much fear is generated by shadows. And you got to go back, and you got to get a cone down view, and you got to get extra study. You know, last time I checked, radiation causes cancer.
It does.
And here we are irradiating breasts at a record pace. And for no gain, folks, the best studies have shown no benefit. So let's just stop the madness and get more thoughtful about how we handle our bodies. And let's do things to prevent breast cancer. So if you want to do some screening, at Intellectual Medicine, we have access to blood screening. Are you familiar with this concept called blood biopsies?
I am.
Yeah, I thought you might be. Blood biopsies, folks, are where you can take a sample of your blood and it can be sent to specialized labs that have the ability to detect protein from cancer in your blood before it ever becomes visible on a mammogram, before it ever becomes visible with any imaging, and before you have any symptom. Now, bear in mind, these studies are new technology, and they do not replace other forms of cancer screening. However, they are exciting, they're compelling, and they're available today. And if you do come up with cells, cancer cells, in your blood, it can be detected much sooner than a tumor. Do you know how many doubling times? I'm not going to ask rhetorical questions. I will tell you, folks, it takes 30 doubling times for a tumor to reach 1 centimeter in size. That is, if you develop breast cancer tomorrow, let's imagine some cells in your body have now become malignant, and you have breast cancer, and there are a million of these cells in your breast. You'll never know that. They need to double 30 times to get to be approximately 1 centimeter in size. Think about that, 30 times. That means you've had that cancer for years before you feel that little lump. Now, here's the hook. When it doubles 40 times, it's done. Your lifespan's over. That cancer has won the battle. So saying that a 1 centimeter cancer is early is a little bit misleading. It's 3/4 of the way to a mortal event for you. We need better screening tools. And you know what? They're out there. They're just not insurance covered nor widely publicized. And there's a lot of criticism about them as being unproven. Well, we're in the process of gathering that data. Now, when we come back after our next break, we're going to tell you what you could do to cut down your risk of getting breast cancer or any cancer in the first place. And we're going to take your calls on this or other topics. I'm Dr. Steve Pederuti with Shannon. We are Intellectual Medicine. Yeah, folks, we're back. Dr. Pederuti at Intellectual Medicine. We're talking about screening for breast cancer. And Shannon corrected my terminology. It's a liquid biopsy that we have at Intellectual Medicine. you can receive the liquid biopsy to determine if there are cancer cells floating in your body. In a couple of settings where this is are particularly beneficial. If you've ever had cancer and have been declared cancer-free, this is a wonderful adjunct to monitoring your condition. Rather than waiting around looking for tumors to come back, you can determine if there are cells floating in your blood.
I got to tell you, I kind of like doing it.
Well, you know, Shannon has had melanoma twice, and mm-hmm. doing the liquid biopsy was very reassuring, knowing that there are no cancer cells there. And it guides our treatment plan. You know, in intellectual medicine, we have high-dose intravenous vitamin C and high-dose intravenous alpha-lipoic acid, both of which have been shown to be toxic to cancer cells and totally safe for your cells. So the natural question is, what can you do to prevent cancer from coming back if you've ever had it, or to keep it away if you've never gotten it? Well, one is to do our anti-cancer IV infusion. This has been shown in scientific studies to be toxic toward cancer cells. Now, bear in mind that these are advanced and new treatments in many ways, although vitamin C has been around for 30 years, and it's meant to be supportive of your fight against cancer. Vitamin C kills cancer cells, and it doesn't harm your cells. It's a beautiful adjunct. And for those folks that are cancer-free, or have been declared that, this is a way to help continue the fight. Now, the other things you can do, let's talk about some general stuff. Half a cup of raw broccoli every day, going to decrease all cancer risk. There's a substance in raw broccoli called diindolmethane, also indole-3-carbinol. These two substances are felt to be cancer fighters, and studies correlating people who have high broccoli intake have much lower cancer rates. Now, we do have supplements that have those things in them if the broccoli doesn't appeal to you. Of course, quit smoking. Frequent flying. If you're a business person and you're frequently in the air, your risk of all-cause cancer and infection goes up, not because people next to you are infected, but because of the free radicals generated by the ultraviolet bombardment from being that high in the air weakens your immune system and accelerates cancer risk. And there are things you can do at our center. We have a pre-flight drip, Shannon, do we not?
We do.
And that pre-flight drip will strengthen immunity and help you fight against the cancer and other infections. Weight loss. This is a huge issue. In America, we have an epidemic of weight and obesity, and we also have an epidemic of breast cancer, and those two are linked. Excess weight equals increased breast cancer risk. We have the cure for obesity at Intellectual Medicine. Nobody's better at that, safer at that than we are, and it's starting to expand, and it's now available in other centers as well, the Pederuti Method for Weight Loss. If you have a tape measure, take it out. If you put it around your waist and you're a woman and it's greater than 35 inches, get busy. Your cancer risk is shot up. If you're a man and it's above 40 inches, likewise, prostate cancer, pancreatic cancer, 14 different cancers all shoot up. Lead and cadmium. Every time we test for cadmium, we're seeing high levels in people in the Northeast. Cadmium is a carcinogen, and it will slowly eat away at your health. It can be remedied, it can be addressed. So a combination of intellectual medicine, take action now to stop cancer from ever happening. Cancer, folks, is more often an environmental consequence than a genetic inevitability. The fatalistic approach saying, well, I've had cancer in my family, you know, it just kind of happens. Now, there's truth to that. Lightning strikes even the most healthy. You live trim, you live fit, you don't smoke, you exercise every day, and wham, you get cancer anyhow. That can happen. But boy, I sure like my odds, Shannon. I like my odds when I'm taking my diindolmethane and I'm keeping my weight in check, avoiding smoking, and I'm doing my IV chelation to prevent cadmium and lead from accumulating in my body. I like those odds.
Better odds.
And I like your odds when you're doing high-dose vitamin C, because I know that those cancer cells can just kind of float through your body and kind of strike at you when you least expect it. Remember, 30 doubling times to get to 1 centimeter. Cancer is still one of the leading causes of death in America. We haven't had much of a dent in that statistic. So we need to think new thoughts. We need new approaches. And the liquid biopsy and intravenous vitamin C are two elements of that. Now, if folks are interested in this type of medicine, Shannon, how do they reach us?
They can call Intellectual Medicine at 401-921-5934.
And they can follow us on our our website. And
website,
Facebook,
on Facebook, on Snapface. Twitter, on any Snapface.
Right? Bill Belichick would say Snapface or whatever.
Any of those.
All right, folks. Well, listen, you've been a great audience. And before we leave, we must talk about our beloved New England Patriots. They're playing Pittsburgh today, Shannon. Tomorrow. Did you know that?
Of course I knew that.
Well, what do you think? Who do you like in this game?
Oh, let me think. Tough one. Of course, Patriots.
Well, hey, Nick, I'm thinking Patriots big. And here's my take, ultimately, right?
If the Patriots, that's optimistic, I will say.
If the Patriots don't win, they choke. That's how's that? Either they're going to win or they're going to be chokers. Because they got a hell of a team.
Steelers are tough, though.
Yeah,
and they're due to beat the Patriots. They're due.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a Patriots fan. Die hard. Okay?
Yep.
I spend those summer times at training camp with them, basically, because I'm out there in the stands on those bleachers 3 hours before practice. But guess what? This one's going to be tough. I'm worried about this one.
You're worried. You know what? I respect Ben Roethlisberger. He's a heck of a quarterback, but they don't have enough diversity of offensive weapons to really challenge us. Our defense is playing great, and our cornerbacks are going to neutralize Antonio Brown. So I just see us winning this game unless
optimism.
We gag. Well, okay.
Optimism.
If you're a Patriot fan, I'm being optimistic. But, hey, you know, it's going to be a great time. Have a ball watching the game, everybody. Stay tuned with Intellectual Medicine. By the way, did you know that if the Patriots win, the mood of the entire region goes up? Everybody gets more optimistic and more positive energy. Did you know that?
Well, that kind of makes sense.
The true fact. As goes your sports team, so goes your health. Is that possible? Are people dying quickly in Cleveland because of the Browns? I don't know. All I know is Intellectual Medicine is here to serve you every week at this time. Thank you to WPRO, the voice of Southern New England, to Nick behind the glass, Shannon for all your great information today, Doug Lazell in the News Center. I am Dr. Steve Pettirudi. We are Intellectual Medicine. Have a great week.